Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning's lesson from Matthew is one of the great old war horses of the Bible. Everybody should know the story of Peter being recruited by Jesus. As Jesus is walking along the shoreline and he's Peter, and he calls on Peter to follow him, and Peter joins him, as does his brother. And then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, also join in following Jesus. But there's a lot in this story that we don't know. There are a lot of questions that are raised. What were these men thinking? Think about that. Have you ever contemplated a career change? Have you ever thought it would be great if my telephone rang and a recruiter called me up? And would you have said, yes, I'll take that job, no matter what it is? I don't think anybody here has been or is a professional fisherman. Am I right about that? So I can just make stuff up and you'll nod your heads. But I know a little bit about professional fishing because I lived on Cape Ann in Massachusetts. And since I lived in Rockport, which was surrounded by Gloucester, I obviously know all about fishing, right? I've also read The Perfect Storm by John Krakauer, and I saw the movie. So I know everything there is to know about fishing. And what I will tell you is, it is hard work. If you go out on that boat every morning, it's not some lovely jaunt out on the water. You have to get up really, really early, like 4 a.m. You need to put up with the weather, no matter what it's like. You need to bring in your haul every day. And now you've got to deal with all sorts of regulations, what you can catch, how much you can catch. And in certain areas, there's a lot of tension going on between the fishermen and the lobstermen. And it's hard work, and people die out there. Now, I don't think, and I'm going to stress the word think, that fishing on Lake Galilee was as dangerous as it was going out on the Outer Banks. But it was hard work. And I remember sailing in college. We sailed out on the Charles River. And if you know what the Charles River is like in Boston, it is a giant wind tunnel. And the winds would come down and they would shift. And it was really easy to be turtled, to have your boat tip over. Then I got to see what turtling could be like on Cayuga Lake when I went to Cornell. And you could see the storms work their way down the lake. And it was really a great relief when we got our boat back in before the rain hit. I didn't want to be caught in a squall. And I was just out there for fun. Think about Peter and Simon going out there every day. That was their job. That was what their family did for a living. They took care of their boats. They went out in the boats. They caught fish. They sold them. They went out and did the same thing again the next day. And John and James did that too with their father. And they walked away from it all. Something about what Jesus said spoke to them. Something was compelling in his message. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think that I would just drop everything and go follow some guru or teacher wandering along the beach. But they did. They were looking for something. That's a supposition we make. It comes up in a lot of commentaries. And the question I have to ask is, what are you looking for? Imagine Jesus walking into this room right now. And Betsy, your eyes just sort of lit up there. And that was an appropriate reaction. Like, oh my God. Yeah. You'd be blown away. And then if Jesus asked you to follow him, what would be your response? Let me check my calendar. I'll see if I'm free. Or I may have other responsibilities I have to tend to. Maybe tomorrow. Is that what you want to say to Jesus? Sounds good, but not now. But Jesus is asking something difficult of us. And I say us because it's not just you. And yes, I'm going to make my pitch for the annual meeting recruitment, which is taking place now. When you get a phone call from Barb or from me or an email asking if you'll continue to serve on your committee or if you'll do something new, please think about what we're asking you to do. We're not just looking to fill volunteer spots. We're trying to do the work of the church. Brian does a great job for us in the church office, but he can't do everything. What can you do? More importantly, what do you feel called to do? And I'm glad you feel called to be here for worship or to join us on Zoom, because worship is an important part of serving God. But we also need to keep the lights on and the building clean and to organize events and to serve on committees. And everybody here has a talent that can be shared or developed. And it's a lot better than being on something goofily called the drag team. But I'm sure there was some club that you wanted to be invited to be on when you were young. But you remember the old joke from Groucho Marx? This isn't that kind of club. You should want to be in this club. And there is no secret handshake. There is no funky hat. There are no premiums, no benefits. But there is being part of a community. And I know there can be days when you say, oh, hell, we're doing it again. Yeah, we are. And I know some of you have been volunteering here for decades. And thank you. This place is here because you've been here. Think about that. The church doesn't just exist because I come in here every week and preach to you. Look at these murals behind us. Some of you will recognize the faces there. Some of the people are still with us. Some have passed on. Others have now retired. But everybody here has made a difference in the life of the community. And we're not going to update the mural. If we did, it would not be as attractive as it is. But imagine your faces there. Imagine that. And imagine people coming in the future and knowing that there are a whole bunch of people here at the church making things happen. Think about that. So Jesus may not have been the best executive recruiter out there. His ability to evaluate talent using the metrics of the marketplace might have been questionable. Peter had his failings. Peter is not the first person I would have gone out to recruit to lead my disciples. Peter failed Jesus. He denied him 3 times. And yet, Peter was the rock upon which the church of Jesus Christ was built. If Peter could do it, we can do it. Because before we think, oh, I'm so much better than those disciples, think about their dedication to Jesus and to God. Think about how they followed him for 3 years. And they saw the things that went well, and they saw the miracles, and they saw the crowds. And then they saw how everything fell apart at the end. And the disciples still follow Jesus. So this isn't a lead up into Lent, which is going to then get us in the right frame of mind for Easter. But in a way it is. I know it's cold today and it's snowy, and I hope that everybody got in here safely. We'll do a better job of salting the front walk and the sidewalk in the future. But Easter is going to come. And even more importantly, Easter has already come. Jesus Christ has risen. The kingdom of God, which Matthew describes as a kingdom of heaven, is not something that's coming in the future. The kingdom of heaven is here right now, and it's in those boxes. Those soup cans are our commitment to the kingdom of heaven. And we are not going to do everything there is to make the kingdom come. We cannot. We've got false prophets out there who will say things we want to hear, but they're not telling us what we need to hear. But just because we can't do everything, just we can't make the promised land appear here tomorrow, doesn't mean we shouldn't work towards it. God is expecting us, each of us, to work towards that kingdom. There isn't some person behind the door in the parlor who's going to just walk in a moment and say, "It's all here. Go home and enjoy sports this afternoon. You don't have to do anything." And I'm sure you've seen news reports about volunteering is dropping in some portions of our community nationally. But people are still giving of their time and of their talents and, yes, of their money to the causes they care about. And I know there are a lot of good causes for us to care for. But the Church of Jesus Christ is the most important. My hope is that everybody here has experienced God's love in one form or another. And maybe it's a constant enveloping presence in your life. Maybe it's something you've felt sporadically. Maybe it's something you feel today. Maybe it's something you remember from the past and you want to get again. God's love is available to each and every one of us. And it may be that there are days when we feel that we're unlovable, when we wonder who cares about us. God loves each of us every day. God has not promised us that we are going to have easy lives. If those prophets were coming and telling me what I wanted to know, they would tell me the right numbers to pick the next time Mega Millions gets to that $1 billion jackpot. But I don't need to know that. What I need to know and internalize and do this day in and day out is remember that God loves me. And God loves you. And God loves you, and God loves you. And you know the old saw that love is an infinite resource. There's more than enough to go around. It's true. God's love is an infinite resource. We don't need to hoard it. We don't need to tell some people there isn't enough for them. We need to share it. And that's the career change I'd like each of us to contemplate. How can we be spokespeople for God? And we can do it through our coming to church. We can do it through our work. When people ask us what we do on the weekend, what do we tell them? Think about that. Why does a church make a difference in your life? Why? It is a message of love that is worth sharing. And so I think about these people looking for something, who knows what, who on that day when they went to work left to do something else. And I will not deny that sacrifices are to be made. Simon Peter and his brother Andrew and John and James walked away from their boats. And John and James actually walked away from their father. There are sacrifices to be made. And they're not always easy to make. But Jesus would not ask us to do something stupid or something impossible. Think about that. Jesus is not asking us to go on personal suicide missions. Jesus is not asking our communities to do that. Jesus is asking us to love one another. And if we look back at the reading from Isaiah, which is a book that Jesus knew very well, we remember that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Those words which were directed to the ancient people of Israel are directed at us now. God's light has shined on us. And yes, we need to be careful to be humble and to not let us think, oh, well, the spotlight's on us, so we're good. But we should remember that we are a symbol illuminated to the wider community. And I'll tell you, people know about this church. And they know about the service projects it hosts. And that is all of you reflecting that light out into the wider world. So again, go back to the idea of wondering, what would I say if Jesus walked through the door? And I know the snarky remark would be, I would be freaked out. But if I got over that, what would be my response? What would be your response? Do we want the kingdom of heaven to come here now? Or is it something that would be convenient to show up after we've shuffled off the stage? Think about that. Let's join together in a spirit of prayer. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of discipleship. We thank you for people like Peter, for Andrew, and for John and James and all the other disciples and all the faithful people throughout the ages. Help us to reflect your glory into the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.